Hey friends, it's me again. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in and give me a thumb. Say hi while you're at it. Helps me a ton with that damn algorithm. And besides, it's always nice to see you there. All right then, let's hop on that crazy train.
All aboard!
Welcome back, my friends. So good to see you. Hey, with only one Friday left till Christmas, I know you don't have a whole lot of time these days. Still, I'd be remiss not to remind you all that today is National Ding-a-ling Day. No, Chester, it has nothing to do with your wiener. It's to encourage y'all to call your old friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while. Go ahead and give them a ding-a-ling. It's only right this time of year. Or just sit alone and play with your wiener. I don't give a shit. I did my job. Anyway, come on in, friend. So check out simplyscarypodcast.com and become a patron. For as little as $7.99 a month, you can get the entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream. Just pop in and click the patron button. You'll support our network and a world of wonders awaits you. Also, patreon.com/drewblood is a thing. Stop by and feed Chester. So tonight, we welcome back our good pal and fan favorite, Brian Asbury. Hell yeah, about damn time. Brian's stories run the whole gamut of human tendencies, from your everyday strap hangers to the nastiest bastards imaginable. It's part of his charm, you know. So without further delay, from author Brian Asbury, I give you Psycho Sam.
They really aren't.
Thanks very much, Mr. Knott.
Aren't you two forgetting something?
Well, you build in.
Skull and jaw from
Rob the People.
I just got tired of feeling like I couldn't leave the house without wearing a baseball cap or having some kind of concealer on my scalp.
The man on the TV said. The camera panned around the top of his head, showcasing his hair loss.
Balding has been ruining my life for far too long, and I finally decided to do something about it.
A clean-cut black man who looked to be in his late 40s then appeared in the next scene. His hands were clasped together and he was dressed in medical scrubs, which gave him a professional appearance.
Hello, I'm Samuel Jenkins, owner of Revive Hair Studio. If you're like Todd, then you're one of the millions of men and women out there affected by baldness. Not only does hair loss affect your appearance, but it also affects your self-esteem.
The scene then shifted to him working on a client as his voice continued speaking in the background.
Fortunately, now there's a solution. Scalp micropigmentation is one of the safest and most effective treatments for both male and female pattern baldness.
Todd was shown in the next clip after having undergone the procedure. He was playing basketball as his girlfriend cheered him on from the sidelines. He hit a three-point shot, then grinned with a renewed sense of confidence.
I've worked on hundreds of satisfied clients, so when you're ready to look and feel your best, call Sam the Steady Hand Jenkins.
A phone number then scrolled across the screen. He then raised his hands in front of him.
Let me show you what these hands,
he pointed at the screen and smiled,
can do for your scalp.
Matt Jerzin, a 28-year-old man with a thin and strawberry blonde comb-over, picked up his phone and curiously typed in the information. The company's website, although somewhat amateur-looking, included numerous before-and-after photos of balding men that now appeared to have a hairline. Further down the screen were links to multiple 5-star Google reviews. Matt had been saving up for a hair transplant for some time. He began balding shortly after high school and struggled daily with the insecurity that it caused him. Baldy locks, cue ball, chrome dome, he had heard all the tired cliches. Hair loss wasn't for the thin-skinned. The next evening, he sat with his girlfriend Kendra, looking over the menu at Spaghetti Garden. The overhead lights shined through his hair, magnifying its unsightly cotton candy-looking texture. He sat his menu down and cleared his throat.
So, I know this is going to be a bit of a change, but I've been thinking about shaving my head.
Kendra grinned.
Well, I think you'd look badass with a shaved head. Kind of like Jason Statham.
I've also been looking into this treatment called SMP.
Okay, so what's that?
It stands for scalp micropigmentation.
Scalp what?
Scalp micropigmentation. It's like where they tattoo hair on your head, but it's not like a regular tattoo. It's like stippling. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than a hair transplant. Watch, check this out.
Matt reached for his phone and pulled up some images. He handed it to Kendra, who began scrolling down the page.
Those are all before and after pics of guys who have had it done.
Kendra got a surprised look on her face.
Wow. Wait, so that's a tattoo?
Kinda. There's like a special way they do it, though. And they don't use regular tattoo ink. That's the page for this one guy I started following. He's supposed to be like one of the best out here.
Is it permanent?
For the most part. I mean, you can always get it lasered off, like if it comes out bad or something, like a regular tattoo.
He smirked.
But that's why you do your research first.
He then pointed at his head.
I wouldn't trust just anyone to work on this dome.
I love that dome.
Kendra said in a sultry voice as she playfully licked the air. The next morning, Matt called Sam's number.
Revive Hair Studio, this is Sam.
A soothing voice answered.
Hi, this is Matt Jerzen. I saw your ad on the internet and wanted to schedule a free consultation.
Yes, hello, Matt. Well, you've made the right call. So, my first question is, what degree of alopecia are you experiencing?
Matt looked into his living room mirror as he ran his fingers through his hair.
I guess it would be considered like diffuse thinning. My hairline's crept up some too, but mainly it's just thin all over,
he said as his brow furrowed.
Well, if that's the case, then you're in luck, because SMP works especially well for that type of hair loss. Tell me, Matt, when are you available to come down to the clinic?
Well, I have weekends off.
Weekends work perfect.
Saturday afternoon, Matt pulled into the parking lot of the clinic, which was located inside a large commercial building. The dated exterior was a far cry from the vibrant upscale facility that was featured on the company's website. The parking lot was empty except for a lone car, a gold Cadillac with oversized rims. Matt gazed at it with an amused grin as he strolled towards the entrance. Once inside, he followed the corridor and soon came upon a door with a cracked sign that read, Revive Hair Studio. Before he could knock, Sam opened the door. He was dressed in blue jeans, a gray turtleneck sweater, and black alligator loafers.
Matt?
Sam asked.
Yes, sir.
Sam reached out and shook his hand.
I'm Sam.
Pleasure to meet you,
Matt replied.
I saw you on the cameras.
He then stepped to the side.
Please, come on in.
Sam's office walls were covered in before and after pictures of clients who had undergone SMP.
Have a seat,
he said, as he motioned to a chair at his desk.
Care for water?
Sure,
Matt said as he looked around.
Is that your caddy outside?
Sure is.
I love caddies. My dad used to have a CTSV.
Sam grinned.
It sounds like your dad is a man of good taste.
As he sat down, he noticed the multiple camera feeds on Sam's monitor. They appeared to cover every square inch of the building, both inside and out. Sam dug through his mini fridge, then handed Matt a water and sat down at his desk. He gazed at Matt as his smile diminished somewhat.
I apologize for my cracked sign. The damn janitor broke it when he was cleaning my door.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Matt said as he opened his water. Sam tried to laugh it off.
I just didn't want you to think that an angry customer may have done that or something.
He paused for a moment, then shifted his eyes to a form on his desk.
So, when we spoke on the phone, you had mentioned that you were experiencing diffuse thinning, correct?
Matt nodded.
Unfortunately.
Would you mind removing your baseball cap so I can take a look?
Matt took off his hat and sat it on the table. Sam got up from his desk and began examining his scalp.
Yep, you are correct. It's even more prominent on the crown.
He squinted his eyes as he moved Matt's head around.
There's some patchy areas on the sides as well. That shouldn't be a problem, though. I've worked on all types of hair loss. I've even worked on folks who have been disfigured from scars and burns.
Well, that's good to hear.
Sam sat back down at his desk and handed Matt a packet of documents.
This is some information that covers the services I provide, as well as some legal disclaimers.
So, how much would it be?
As you know, everyone's different, and there's no one-size-fits-all. In your case, due to the fact that your hair loss is widespread, I'd say $4,200.
Matt gasped.
$4,200? That seems a little steep.
I understand that, but you get what you pay for. I don't cut corners like some of the other cats out here. Everything's explained in the packet, from the techniques that I use to the safety measures that I employ. It's not cheap, but this is your head, and it's an investment.
Matt frowned as he slowly flipped through the packet. Sam leaned back in his chair.
You don't have to make the decision right now. You have a wife? Girlfriend?
Girlfriend.
Talk it over with her first, but I'm sure she would want you to get the best quality procedure that you could.
That evening, Matt looked over the packet of information. He learned the advantages of the single head needle that Sam utilized, and he gazed longingly at the before and after pictures of his clients. In his mind, he began to visualize how he'd look after having underwent the procedure. Matt opened the wrapper on the baby Ruth as he walked over to where Kendra was sitting on the couch. It was Wednesday of the following week.
You ever noticed that a baby Ruth is just a chunkier version of a Snickers bar?
Kendra chuckled and sassily raised her eyebrow.
Or maybe a Snickers is just a baby Ruth with less peanuts.
Matt grinned, then bent over and pecked her on the lips. He then stood back up and took a bite of his candy bar.
I think I'm going to have Sam do the procedure.
Wasn't he the first guy you checked with?
Yeah.
Don't you think you should get some more estimates first?
No one else's before and after pics were as good as his. His reviews were all good, and it's like he said, you get what you pay for.
Kendra shrugged her shoulders as she looked up at him.
Well, if you've got the money and you feel that confident in the guy, I just don't want you to rush into anything, that's all. I mean, that's just a grip of money, and I remember you telling me...
You don't know what it's like living with dying follicles on your head,
Matt said as he interrupted her.
The number of jokes I've heard from people with full heads of hair, heartless bastards. It'd be like if you lost one of your breasts from cancer and someone made fun of you for it.
Kendra raised her eyebrow dubiously. Matt threw his hand in the air.
Seriously, that's what it feels like.
He sighed and sat down next to her on the sofa.
I'm just tired of looking like this, and I finally see a way to improve myself.
Kendra softly smiled.
Then you should do it.
The following Saturday afternoon, Matt arrived at the clinic. Sam explained that he was able to work some magic and squeeze him into his busy office. Once again, the parking lot was empty. Not a car in sight. Even Sam's Cadillac was strangely absent this time.
Shit,
Matt uttered under his breath, hoping that Sam hadn't mixed up the appointment time. To his relief, though, the door was unlocked. He strolled down the empty corridor, which, due to the building's poor ventilation, harbored the unpleasant stench of cigarettes and age. When he got to Suite 107, his eyes focused on Sam's cracked business sign.
Come in,
Sam hollered. When Matt entered, Sam was sitting at his desk, doodling some stippling patterns in a notebook. He smiled invitingly.
So, you decided to pull the trigger?
I did,
Matt said with a giant grin. As he approached the desk, Sam put his pen down and reached to shake his hand.
I was just warming up the old moneymaker,
he said as he wiggled his fingers.
Got a fresh canvas?
Matt smiled and nodded.
Well, I'm ready to look like a new man.
Oh, you will, Sam replied confidently.
After collecting payment, Sam led Matt into the procedure room.
Go ahead and have a seat,
he said as he motioned to an adjustable exam chair. Matt sat down and Sam walked over to a large bird-of-paradise plant that sat next to the window. Its leaves were brown and crispy. He began examining it.
I've been so busy with my client backlog that I've been neglecting my plants lately.
Yeah, it looks a little dry.
Dead is what Matt wanted to say.
Salt buildup. A lot of the potting soils that you buy from the store contain high levels of salt, which can cause nutrient deficiencies. I know you probably can't tell by this poor guy, but I actually minored in horticulture.
Sam sighed, then took a seat on a stool next to Matt.
So, what kind of hairline do you want?
Youthful, thick and dense,
Matt replied without hesitation.
Go big or go home, right?
Sam said agreeably. He then pulled a brown marker out of his coat pocket and drew a hairline starting at Matt's temples and continuing up to his forehead.
You don't measure it first?
Matt asked as he remembered watching videos of practitioners who all used a ruler. Sam suddenly paused as if he were offended.
You want to do this?
Matt began shaking his head.
I just watched a few videos and...
Sam cut him off before he could finish.
I'm just kidding with you, he said as he grinned. Real hairlines are never perfect, hence why I don't use a ruler.
He then got to his feet and grabbed the mirror off the counter.
Here, see what you think,
he said as he handed it to Matt. Matt stared at himself from every angle.
It looks good, but... Can you lower the arch a little more around the temples?
Sam nodded.
Sure.
He grabbed the towel off the counter and moistened it under the faucet. He then scrubbed off the line on Matt's forehead and redrew another one.
Is that better?
Matt held up the mirror and smiled.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
Good, because we strive for perfection here at Revive. All right. Well, the next thing we got to do is shave off that mop of yours.
Sam pinned a cape on Matt, then opened a drawer and pulled out a pair of old rickety clippers. He began shaving off his hair as they buzzed and rattled in his hand. He had to be careful, though, as Matt's head wasn't the most symmetrical, and his scalp was covered in moles, skin tags, and the occasional ingrown hair.
I'll have to watch that guy,
Sam said, referring to a giant cherry mole on the side of Matt's head. After he finished, he moistened his towel again and wiped off the excess clippings.
All right, now for the fun part.
Sam loaded his tattoo gun.
325, light blonde,
he whispered under his breath.
Good for Irish and Scandinavian skin tones. Now, do me a favor and lean back.
Matt leaned back in his chair as Sam carefully positioned his head. He then turned on his tattoo gun and began depositing pigment into his scalp.
I got scared for a minute when I didn't see your caddy outside. I didn't know if anyone was here or not.
Well, I live nearby, and sometimes I walk to work.
Good exercise.
It is. I've always tried to stay active. There's a lot of athletes in my family, so I guess it's in our genes. My brother even made it into the Guinness Book of World Records.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's pretty fucking amazing. For what?
Longest basketball shot.
No shit?
Yeah. It was the entire length of the field at Mile High Stadium. I watched them from the stands. Shaq was there and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It was crazy.
Now, Matt was no physics professor, but it seemed to him that hurling the basketball the entire length of a football field was surely impossible. He went along with it, though. As the session continued, Sam kept talking incessantly. Maybe it was nerves, or maybe he didn't like moments of silence, but either way, he dominated the conversation. Matt was somewhat of an introvert, though, so he didn't mind. He found his comments quirky and sometimes funny. He would pick up on bits of truth mixed in with a healthy dose of absurdity. Sam was so convincing, though, that he couldn't always tell what was fact from fiction. Sam paused and glanced at the TV that hung on the wall. An ad for the Delilah Winstrom Network played. He then shifted his eyes back to Matt's head and continued working. That was one rich woman right there. You know she died, right? Matt, who didn't give a shit about Delilah, tried to sound interested.
Oh, wow. No, that's news to me. I'm surprised I didn't hear about that.
That's because they don't want you to know she died. Her and a bunch of other celebrities burned up in those fires out in L.A. They're in the process right now of replacing her, but it takes a while.
Once again, Sam weaved a peculiar story, and Matt was intrigued.
What do you mean by replacing her?
It ain't no secret, Jack. When certain celebrities disobey their handlers, they wind up dead. Then they kidnap lookalikes and force them to assume their identity. If you think about it, Delilah's a perfect candidate. Unmarried, no kids. Who's going to question it?
So, how do they choose who they kidnap?
You heard of facial recognition?
Yeah.
They search people. They have access to government databases, probably even Facebook. When they get a close photo match, they go on to the next phase. They can check your job, family, all that stuff. It's crazy the amount of information they have.
Matt grinned cheekily.
Well, I guess it's a good thing I don't look like anyone famous.
Amen to that, brother. Amen to that.
After another hour or so, Matt's first session was complete.
Is it supposed to hurt this much?
He asked as he gritted his teeth. Sam wiped the blood and ink residue off his scalp, then handed him a mirror.
Unfortunately, it's going to be sore for a while, and the bleeding's normal. Anytime you puncture the scalp, it always bleeds more than other areas of the body.
As Matt gazed at his head, he saw past the redness and swelling, the discoloration and blotchy, uneven pigment. He saw a man with the appearance of hair, and in that moment, that's all that mattered. He gasped,
I finally have a hairline again.
Yeah, I went for the Jamie Foxx look, since you wanted it low and tight.
Matt had the hairline of a 15-year-old boy. Did it look unnatural? Absolutely. But like anyone struggling with body image issues, he only saw what his brain registered.
Don't worry about any redness. It'll fade as your scalp heals. It's a slow process, so it might take a while. I have a packet on my desk that contains some ointment and some instructions on how to care for your head. We'll do a follow-up session in 2 weeks. Do Saturdays work best for you?
Yeah, Saturday or Sunday,
Matt replied, still eyeing himself in the mirror. Sam removed his cape, then took a seat at his desk and looked down at his calendar.
2 weeks from today would be Saturday the 18th.
He tapped the page with his finger.
And you're in luck. I have an opening that day. 1 o'clock work for you?
Matt rose to his feet and walked over to Sam's desk.
That works.
He extended his hand.
I appreciate it, Sam. I can't thank you enough.
Sam stood up and shook his hand.
Do me a favor and look down.
Matt lowered his head as Sam gazed at his scalp. He then smiled widely, which exposed his gold tooth.
Who are we? That's 5-star fresh right there. Hold on a minute. I want to get some pictures.
Sam grabbed his phone off the desk and snapped a few photos of his work. Matt sprinted up the stairs at his apartment complex, carrying a plastic bag that contained his ointment. Kendra was blow-drying her hair when he walked into their bedroom. She turned off the hairdryer and kissed him on the lips. He removed his hat.
What do you think?
Kendra gazed at his head as her smile dulled.
Is it supposed to be all red like that?
Well, I did just have a needle jabbed into my scalp for almost 2 hours. Sam said it'll clear up as it heals. It just takes a while. Does my hairline look straight?
Kendra squinted her eyes.
It looks straight. Did you want it that low?
I figure if I'm gonna have this done, I sure as hell ain't gonna have a receding hairline anymore.
Kendra forced a crooked smile.
I think I'm just not used to it yet.
As the weekend approached, Matt and Kendra had planned a housewarming party for their new apartment. The problem was they struggled to find people to invite. Kendra was new to the area, and Matt didn't have many friends. Up to this point, his parents and his cousin Nate were the only names on the guest list.
"Do you think it'd be weird if I invited Sam to the party?"
"That's up to you. You don't really know him, though."
"True. But it's not like we have anyone else to invite."
"If you want to, go ahead. I don't care."
Later that afternoon, Sam sat in the stands at a Denver Nuggets game when he heard his phone ring. He pulled it out of his pocket and answered as Matt's voice came over the other end.
"Hey, what's up, Sam? This is Matt."
Matt could hear the game noise in the background.
"Oh, hey, man. How you doing?"
"Good, man. It sounds loud wherever you're at."
"Yeah, I'm actually at a Nuggets game."
"Oh, cool. Are they winning?"
Sam shook his head.
"Shit, I wish."
"Well, hey, real quick. Me and Kendra are having a housewarming party on Saturday and wanted to invite you over."
Sam's eyes veered toward the court. He then sprung to his feet and began screaming at his team.
"Oh, come on, Bayless. Control the fucking ball. Shit."
He turned his attention back to their conversation.
"Sorry, man. These guys are just playing like a bunch of bums today. You said you were having a party on Saturday?"
"Yeah, a housewarming party."
"What time?"
3:00.
Sam thought about it for a minute.
"Let me check my appointments and I'll text you back after the game."
After Sam hung up, he jumped to his feet again and threw his arms in the air.
"That was a foul! That was a foul on McPherson! Call that shit!"
A few hours later, Matt's text message alerted sound on his phone. It was Sam. His message was brief. "Be there Saturday. Text me your address. Sam." Matt texted back. "Cool. 318 Wilbur Street, apartment 26. The Saturday of the party marked a week since Matt's procedure. To his relief, much of the redness on his scalp had subsided. Many of the dots, however, had begun falling out.
"Look, all that ink's lifting out,"
Matt said as he emerged from their bedroom in his boxers. He sat next to Kendra on the sofa and lowered his head. She sat up and began examining his scalp.
"Yeah, it does seem like it's lightened up some. Is it supposed to do that?"
"I don't know. I don't think so."
"Well, just ask Sam when he comes over."
Matt got up and looked into the mirror.
"I look almost bald again," he said as he frowned.
Kendra tried to be supportive.
"At least the redness went away."
That afternoon, Nate was the first to arrive at the party. He was an overweight man-child that struggled to name a single current event, yet could recite every character in Borderlands by heart and spoke about them like real people. A short time later, Matt's parents arrived. They sat around visiting as Matt giggled mindlessly to himself after decapitating his opponent in Mortal Kombat. Suddenly, a knock could be heard at the door.
"Probably Sam,"
uttered Matt as he got up from his seat. When he opened the door, Sam stood in the hallway holding a greeting card in his hand. He was well-dressed, sporting a polo shirt with dark slacks and brown loafers. Matt lit up.
"Hey, Sam, come on in."
They shook hands as Sam walked through the doorway.
"Oh, man, this is nice,"
Sam said as he made his way into the living room. Everyone looked over at him and waved. Matt turned to his family.
"Everyone, this is Sam. He's a friend of mine."
Sam then turned to Matt and Kendra.
"I just have a card for you guys."
Kendra took it in her hand.
"Oh, thank you."
She opened the envelope. Inside was a greeting card with a picture of a cartoon man whose head was exploding. The caption across the top read, "Moving is fun," said no one, ever, "but congratulations on your new home." The back was signed, "Warm Thoughts and Blessings, Sam." Taped to the inside of the card was a coupon for $300 off a future SMP session.
"That's funny,"
Kendra said as she chuckled at the card. She turned to Matt and held out the coupon.
Hey, babe, check out this coupon.
Matt grabbed it and looked at it, then turned to Sam.
Damn, man, thanks. I appreciate that.
After eating, everyone sat around the table making small talk.
So, what do you do for a living, Sam?
Matt's dad asked.
Well, I'm kind of an entrepreneur, but right now I do scalp micropigmentation.
And what's that?
It's just a fancy term for a cosmetic procedure, where tiny dots of pigment are implanted into a person's scalp. It works to create the illusion of hair on someone who's balding.
Nate looked up from his phone.
Matt's so bald he has to cut a hole in his pocket to run his fingers through his hair,
he said as he chuckled pervertedly.
Nate, that's gross,
Matt's mom said as she looked over at him. Matt's dad sighed.
Well, everyone nowadays has tattoos and piercings, and then they wonder why they can't get hired anywhere.
He removed his cap and grinned.
But what the hell? You think you could fix me up too?
He said jokingly as he ran his fingers through the few strands of gray hair that were left on his head. Sam laughed, and by the end of the party, everyone seemed to have warmed up to him. Matt's parents soon left, and Nate followed shortly afterward. Kendra disappeared into their bedroom, and Matt and Sam were left sitting together on the sofa. Sam took a sip of his drink.
You have a wonderful family. You're lucky.
Matt grinned modestly.
Oh, thanks. Nate's a little special, but his heart's in the right place. Hey, I wanted to ask you. I know I've only had one session, but it seems like most of the pigments come out. Is that normal?
Let me have a look.
Matt removed his baseball cap, then Sam leaned over and examined his head.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect, brother. See, you start light and then gradually build up density. After the next session is when you'll really see a difference.
Matt put his cap back on and sighed.
Okay, I've just been dealing with this for so long.
I get it. It's easy to sit around feeling sorry for yourself. But you gotta put things into perspective. See, you think you have it bad until you meet someone who's been permanently disfigured.
Sam's mind seemed to drift into a dark place.
When I volunteered my S&P services in the burn unit at the children's hospital, I saw real suffering. Kids lying in the beds, their hair incinerated off their tiny heads, their skin leathery and charred, their nerve endings destroyed, all bandaged up, looking like Freddy Krueger's offspring. That's someone who should complain about not having hair.
Matt was taken aback.
Damn, man. You didn't have to go that far.
Feel better now?
Not really.
Matt tried changing the subject.
So what about you, man? You got a family?
I got a brother back east.
Any wife or kids?
No. To be real with you, I'm a bit of a man whore. I take antidepressants, and a side effect can be increased libido.
Sam chuckled.
They ain't lying, man. That shit is for real.
Really?
Matt had taken antidepressants in his early 20s and remembered them having the opposite effect on him.
Oh, yeah. It delays your orgasm. It's almost like you're paralyzed from the waist down. You can go for hours and then play ring toss with your girl afterwards.
Matt chuckled.
Damn. I wish they would have had that effect on me. Almost sounds like ecstasy or some shit.
Oh, hey, that reminds me. I have another gift for you I need to grab out the car.
Sam jumped to his feet.
Hold on a minute. I'll be right back.
Sam went out to his vehicle and returned a few moments later, carrying in his hand a small metal tin. He opened it up and pulled out a loosely rolled joint.
You get high?
Sure,
Matt said as his face lit up.
Let's go out on the balcony.
They stepped outside and Sam lit the joint, then took a puff of it and handed it to Matt. Matt took a hit and held it in, then began coughing.
Damn! That shit's harsh!
It should be. It's laced,
Sam said casually.
What did you say?
He said, still choking on the smoke. He passed the joint back to Sam.
I said it's laced. It's dipped in embalming fluid. I have a friend who works at a mortuary, and he hooks me up sometimes.
The weed did taste somewhat off, and there wasn't a hint of humor in Sam's voice.
"It's a special occasion, and I figured you'd want a party," he said as he took another hit.
The smile drained from Matt's face.
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
We're smoking embalming fluid?
It's not harmful in low doses. It just gives you a nice little added buzz.
Dude, who the fuck smokes that shit? That shit can kill you,
Matt said as he began to panic.
Listen, just chill, playboy. Don't freak out. It'll only ruin your high.
I have to work in the morning. And why in the fuck wouldn't you tell me that before I started smoking this shit?
Sam watched Matt squirm for a minute, then began chuckling to himself as he took another hit.
You're far too gullible, man, he said as he shook his head. I'm just fucking with you. I don't smoke embalming fluid.
He held out the joint.
Here, you want another hit?
Matt just stared at him with a puzzled look on his face.
It's just weed, really.
Matt shook his head.
Nah, I'm good on that. Damn, man, why would you say some shit like that?
Sam's smile dwindled.
Suit yourself.
He took another hit, then used his fingertips to put out the joint.
You know what your problem is? You're too uptight.
He put the joint back in its tin, then slapped Matt on the back as he grinned at him.
I mean, hey, it's not every day that I get to get faded with one of my clients.
Matt nodded awkwardly.
Yeah.
Well, I better get. I'll see you next week at your appointment,
Sam said as he walked off. Matt stepped inside his apartment with an unsettling look on his face.
Well, that was pretty fucking weird,
he said to Kendra, who sat on the sofa watching TV.
What was?
We're out there smoking a joint, and after I take a hit, he tells me it's laced with embalming fluid.
Kendra frowned.
What?
That's what I said.
Well, I'm sure he was joking.
I don't know. It tasted weird.
Matt sat down on the sofa and felt his chest.
My heart feels like it's beating all fast,
he said nervously. Kendra reached over and rubbed his back.
Just try to take some deep breaths. Was he smoking it too?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he'd be smoking it if he had done something to it.
Matt closed his eyes and leaned back as he tried to focus on his breathing.
Do you want some water?
She sprung to her feet and ran into the kitchen, then returned a few moments later and handed Matt a glass of water. He took a drink, and after a few minutes, the uncomfortable feeling finally passed. He sighed with relief.
I think you're right. Sam was probably just fucking around. I think I was just having, like, an anxiety attack or something.
He began to laugh.
You fucking weirdo.
Kendra grinned.
You're the one who invited him.
Twilight cast its veil on the city as Sam's Cadillac crept through the alley behind his business. Bone Thugs in Harmony could be heard blaring from the speakers. Suddenly, a homeless-looking man who was sitting on the ground next to the building was illuminated by his headlights. Sam parked and killed the engine. The man, who went by the name of Mad Dog, got to his feet and staggered towards his car. He leaned over and rested against the door as Sam rolled his dark-tinted window down.
Hey, Zyke, can I get a 20 bag? I can get some more reviews for your business.
Sam frowned.
First of all, don't lean on my door like that. You're putting fingerprints all over it.
Oh, sorry, man.
Mad Dog replied as he took a step back. Sam's hand then reached out the window and handed him a small plastic baggie. His window then rolled back up, and he stepped out of his vehicle. A beep echoed through the alley as he armed his alarm.
Just keep an eye on things, and if you see that van driving around here, let me know.
Sam then gazed at him, deadpan.
And listen, Jack, if something happens to this car, something happens to you.
Mad Dog nodded obediently as he slipped the baggie of drugs into his pocket. The following Saturday, Matt pulled into the parking lot of Sam's clinic as he was unlocking the front door. Sam poked his head outside as Matt stepped out of his car. Perfect timing, he said as Matt walked up to him. He reached out and shook his hand. Hey, I want to apologize about the joke I made last week at your party. I was a little buzzed, probably got carried away.
Well, I appreciate that.
Matt cracked a smile.
Hey, at least you didn't say we were smoking bath salts or some shit.
Sam laughed. Okay, well, that is true. As they walked down the corridor, Matt noticed an open door leading into an office that appeared empty.
So what other businesses are in here?
He asked Sam curiously. Sam looked around. Well, there's a lady who does tattooing a few doors down. Other than that, I really couldn't tell you. I pretty much just keep to myself and stay out the mix. He finally stopped in front of his door and bent down to pick up some mail that was scattered on the ground in front of it. He gazed at the envelopes, then crumpled them up in his hand.
Must be junk mail, Matt joked.
Sam unlocked the door to his office, then stepped inside. You could say that. It belongs to the asshole who owns this place, he hissed under his breath. He tossed the mail into the wastebasket, then sat down at his desk and appeared to skim through Matt's file. He then rose to his feet and hovered over him as he examined his head. Looks like it's healing good, he said, as his eyes focused on Matt's scalp. Next, he fastened a cape around Matt's neck and grabbed his clippers out of the drawer. Stray bits of hair still clung to their blades. Without sanitizing them, he began buzzing off Matt's hair. He seemed to be in a hurry, though, which caused him to get sloppy.
Be careful of those moles on my head,
Matt cautioned, but it was too late. The clipper blade sliced through the giant cherry mole on the side of his head.
Ow!
Matt exclaimed as he pulled away in pain. Whoops, Sam said as he calmly set the clippers down on his desk. Hold on a minute, I'll grab a towel. Blood began to trickle down the side of Matt's head and drip onto his pants.
Oh, shit! Blood's leaking on my clothes!
Sam returned with a paper towel and pressed it against Matt's wound. I never claimed to be a barber. That guy came out of nowhere. Matt bit his tongue as he sat there fuming. After Sam cleaned up the blood, he taped the band-aid over Matt's severed mole. I'll tell you what. You finish shaving your head, and when you're done, lie face down on the exam chair. While you're doing that, I'm gonna go wash up in the restroom. A few moments later, Sam stepped into the restroom and locked the door. He took off his gold-rimmed glasses and unbuttoned his dress shirt, then began washing his face and armpits in the sink. After he finished washing the rest of his body, he changed into his medical scrubs. He then pulled a crack pipe and lighter from his pants pocket. He lit the pipe and took a hit, then stepped onto the toilet seat and blew the smoke into the exhaust fan in the ceiling. A little while later, Sam walked back into his office and stepped into the procedure room. Matt was lying face down on the exam chair, which faced away from him. So, did you have a good week?
Not bad. Copacetic. You?
Sam grinned with pupils that had swollen to the size of saucers. Blessed, brother. Blessed. Best week ever. He put on his gloves and clear plastic face visor, then turned on some music. He grabbed his tattoo gun, which still contained the same needle that he had used on a previous client. He changed out the ink, then sat down on his stool next to where Matt lay. He turned on his floor lamp, then got into position. As Sam spoke, the song continued in the background. Its beat funky and melodic. All right, you said you weren't satisfied with the results from your last session, so this time we're going to make it stick. Sam went to work as the tattoo gun hummed in his hand. He began to ramble again, only this time he seemed paranoid and somewhat agitated. You like hip-hop?
Yeah, I listen to pretty much everything.
Today's hip-hop sucks. You got these rappers nowadays wearing lipstick and fucking skinny jeans. Get the fuck out of here. This is my generation. Real hip-hop. You walk around where I'm from listening to that corny shit, you get your head caved in. Matt stayed silent, with his face buried in the headrest. I'm originally from Chicago. You ever been there?
No.
My pops was a pimp and a drug dealer. I never knew the man, See, out there, you either the minnow or the barracuda. He wiped some blood that began to trickle from Matt's scalp. That's one reason why I had to leave. That and all the other bullshit. Sam smiled. But look at me now. I get to serve value clients like yourself. Hey, you didn't happen to notice a black van outside when you got here, did you?
No, not that I remember. Why's that?
Just wondering. There's been a lot of sketchy vehicles around here lately. As Sam continued to work, his comments grew more bizarre and even seemed downright delusional. He claimed that he was being stalked by a satanic cult who was targeting him for identity reassignment. It then shifted to people following him and placing tracking devices on his car. Matt listened in horror, no longer amused, but instead nervous and alarmed. He felt trapped in his chair, and nothing about the session felt professional anymore. He regretted returning to Sam's clinic, but at this point it was too late to do anything other than sit back and let him finish. An hour and a half later, Matt's head looked like it had been attacked with a fine-tip Sharpie. The ink was deposited inconsistently, causing the tiny dots that were supposed to resemble hair follicles to blur and bleed into one another. Then, upon further inspection, he saw it. A large spot on the back of his head that resembled a certain part of the male anatomy.
What the fuck?
Matt uttered in disbelief. His eyes focused on a giant charcoal gray spot that appeared to be in the shape of a curved penis.
What the fuck is that?
He said as he pointed at it. Sam gazed down at it nonchalantly. That's just a color variation. Matt lost it.
That's not a color variation.
Hey, brother, just relax for a minute.
I can't relax. Look at my head. None of those pictures on your website looked like this. It looks like a dick on the back of my head. And the front's all blotchy and dark.
Well, I would say it's closer to the shape of Florida, but that's debatable. And hair naturally contains lighter and darker areas, some of which may appear as shapes. Listen, I promise that once the redness calms down, it'll fade. Same goes for the front. All those pictures you've seen were of people whose scalps were fully healed. Tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to gently scrub your head with a washcloth, okay? That'll help lighten everything up. Matt took a deep breath as he tried to calm down.
Okay. And what happens if it doesn't?
Hey, I'm Steady Hand Jack. There ain't nothing these hands can't fix. And if for some reason it's not fading to your satisfaction, I can just use an advanced color correction technique. I got you. But despite Sam's reassurance, Matt was filled with doubt, and he couldn't help but feel as though he intentionally sabotaged his scalp. He drove home feeling sick to his stomach and hiding behind his baseball cap. He knew there was no way he could show his head in public without facing ridicule and humiliation.
Hey, babe, how'd it go?
Kendra asked as Matt walked through the front door. There was no need to respond, as the disgust in his eyes already answered for him. He removed his hat and threw it on the sofa. The smile on Kendra's face all but disappeared as she gazed at his head in shock.
Is it supposed to be that dark? And what's with the band-aid? Did he hurt you?
Oh, it gets worse,
Matt replied. He turned around, which exposed the obscene shape on the back of his head. Kendra gasped and put her hand over her mouth.
Oh my God,
she said as she moved closer to get a better look. Matt shook his head dejectedly.
I'm so fucking pissed right now. I should have just gotten a hair transplant.
Well, he needs to fix this.
It looks like a curved dick.
Kendra was at a loss for words.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. It's like he was on something. First he shaves off my mole with his clippers and blood's like dripping on my jeans. Then halfway through the procedure he starts talking about satanic cults and a bunch of other weird shit.
Are you for real?
Yeah, but at that point what was I supposed to do?
You know you can sue him, right? You should have recorded him.
Matt frowned as he gazed in the mirror at the back of his head.
He told me to scrub my head with a washcloth before bed every night, and if that didn't work, to go back in a few weeks and he'd do some kind of correction.
Kendra huffed.
You're really going to go back to him?
Well, what else am I supposed to do, Kendra? I don't have the money to have it lasered off.
Despite his gut, Matt clung to the hope that maybe it was all just a misunderstanding, and the area would fade if he followed Sam's instructions. But after scrubbing his head every night, sometimes until it was nearly raw, the pigment remained intact. His patience grew thin with each passing day, and after a week and a half, he decided it was time to call Sam and schedule a correction. 80s hair metal blasted in the background. Sam sat at a bar stool nursing a vodka tonic and chatting with a topless dancer in a rundown strip club. His phone suddenly rang, interrupting him.
"Excuse me,"
he said to the woman as he reached into his pocket and pulled out his phone. He answered it.
"Hello?"
he said over the music.
"Sam, hey, this is Matt."
Sam plugged his ear.
"Matt?"
"Yeah."
"Hold on a sec, it's too noisy."
Sam took the phone away from his ear and covered the mouthpiece.
"It's a client. I'll be right back,"
he said to the woman as he excused himself. After he stepped outside, he put his phone back up to his ear.
"So what's going on?"
"My head's not lightening up, so I guess I'm going to have to schedule that correction."
"Okay. Have you been gently scrubbing it like I said?"
"Yeah. I don't know how much more scrubbing I can do. It actually started bleeding a little bit the other day."
Sam seemed to lose his patience.
"Now, I said gently. If you're damaging the skin, that's something entirely different. And if you read the contract, it states that neglect or improper care voids the warranty."
Kendra, who stood next to Matt listening, piped up.
"No, he did exactly what you said, and you need to fix this."
Sam sighed.
"Okay, I'll tell you what. When I get back to my office, I'll check my availability and get back to you. In the meantime, just stop with the scrubbing so you don't do any more damage to your scalp."
But as the day came and went, Matt never heard back from Sam, nor would he return his phone calls. After leaving numerous voicemails, he grew increasingly frustrated. He decided that since he couldn't reach him on the phone, he would show up at his clinic and demand a refund or at least some kind of compensation. It was Wednesday, just after 11 a.m., when Matt pulled into the building's deserted parking lot. He immediately grew suspicious, especially since Sam remarked about how busy it was during the weekday. He marched up the steps wearing a worn-out baseball cap and a look of despair etched on his face. When he tried the handle, it was locked.
"Fuck,"
he huffed to himself. He began to walk around the building when he saw Sam's Cadillac parked in the alley. Directly across from it was a glass door that acted as a secondary entrance. He walked up to it, then pulled on the handle and discovered that it was unlocked. As he was about to enter, Mad Dog suddenly stormed up from behind him and pushed it closed.
"What the hell are you doing?"
Matt barked as he backed away and threw his hands in the air.
"I act as security around here."
"Well, I need to speak with Sam."
"Psych doesn't like people just showing up. So my advice to you would be to get the hell out of here."
Matt shook his head in disbelief.
"That's bullshit."
Mad Dog scowled, then balled up his fists and lunged at him. The two began to scuffle, and Matt managed to throw him on the ground, then slip into the building. He locked the deadbolt, then backed away from the door in a panic. Mad Dog got back to his feet, then ran up to the door and yanked on the handle. When it wouldn't open, he began banging on the glass and peering inside.
"Sam!"
Matt shouted as he turned and treaded down the corridor.
"Hello?"
He began searching the offices. Some were locked, but the ones that were open all appeared vacant, ransacked to be more precise. Desk drawers pulled open, loose wires hanging from the ceiling, and trash littering the floor.
"What the hell?"
he uttered to himself. Where were all the other clients or the tattoo parlor that Sam mentioned? It didn't make sense. Nothing did. Matt finally made it to Sam's door.
Sam!
He shouted as he knocked. He turned the knob and walked inside.
Sam, are you here?
He blurted out. He noticed a blue sleeping bag next to the desk.
There's some maniac outside.
Suddenly, he could feel a cold steel barrel pressing up against the back of his head.
The only maniac you need to worry about now is the one standing behind you.
He heard Sam's voice utter menacingly. He then heard the cock of a gun's hammer.
The fuck you think you're doing here, Jack? Don't you know that's how fools get smoked?
Matt slowly raised his hands in the air, his body paralyzed with fear.
What are you doing, man?
His voice cracked. Sam began frisking him as he checked him for any weapons. He then backed away as he kept him in his sights.
Turn around,
he commanded. Matt turned around and faced him.
You done fucked up by coming here today. So what the fuck do you want, huh? I rented the service, and you paid me for it. What, are you trying to extort me or something?
No. No.
Then why the fuck did you come here?
Matt tensed up, sensing the wrong words could easily get him killed. Sam got a suspicious look on his face.
Wait a minute. Are you part of the cult? Like, posing as a customer or something?
No. I'm not in a cult or anything. What are you doing, Sam? It's me, Matt. Listen, at this point, I just want to leave. That's all.
Sam shook his head.
No, you're going to stay and party now, because I don't know why else you'd be dropping in here when we clearly don't have any business to tend to.
He looked over at his desk.
There's a pipe sitting on my desk. You're going to walk over to it and smoke it.
He then reached into his pocket and pulled out a lighter.
Here.
He tossed it to him. Matt caught it in his trembling hands, then glanced over at the pipe with a look of dread on his face.
I don't want to smoke that.
I don't give a shit what you want, motherfucker.
Sam barked. He took a step closer.
Now walk your ass over there and hit that shit.
Matt was petrified, and his only safe bet was to do as he was told. He slowly walked over to the pipe and picked it up off the desk. It was a burnt glass tube with a yellowish residue that covered the stem.
That's right. Suck on that shit,
Sam instructed. The way he said it sounded almost sensual. Matt slowly raised the pipe to his lips. It had a strong burnt chemical smell to it. He took the lighter and lit the bowl, then inhaled the smoke, which was much thicker and stronger than weed. He then started hacking as smoke billowed from his mouth. Sam grinned pleasurably. His lips cracked and crusty.
Now hit it again.
Matt grimaced with red, teary eyes, then caught his breath and took another hit. Sam lowered his gun and snickered.
Look at you. You're a crackhead now. No better than all the other junkies out here. How's it feel?
Matt's heart pounded in his chest, and his throat was numb. The high he experienced was quick and intense, but enjoyable, and only acted to worsen the panic that he felt.
I don't want any more. I just want to go home,
he pleaded. Sam raised his gun and scowled.
Maybe I should call the cops on you for trespassing and smoking that shit in here.
Despite being the victim, Matt became filled with paranoia. Sam stormed over to him and placed the barrel of his gun up to his head.
Why shouldn't I? What if after I throw you out of here, you come back and burn this bitch down, huh? How do I know you won't try some shit like that?
Matt closed his eyes and shook his head as a tear trickled down his cheek.
No, I don't understand why you're doing all this, man,
he sniveled. At that moment, Mad Dog suddenly stormed through the doorway.
That little fucker sucker punched me.
Before he could finish his sentence, Sam pointed his gun at him and shot him in the chest. He stumbled backwards and fell onto the floor.
Fuck!
Sam shouted as things went from bad to worse. Fearing he would be next, Matt headbutted Sam. breaking his glasses and sending him tripping over his sleeping bag. When he hit the ground, his gun slid across the floor. Matt tried to bolt out of the room, but Sam grabbed him by his ankle and tripped him. He then crawled on top of him and began strangling him as blood trickled from a gash on his cheek. Matt reached up and wrapped his hands around Sam's neck as both men aimed to end the other one's life. But Sam had the upper hand, and Matt's vision soon began to blur as he started to lose consciousness.
Freeze! Get off him now!
A man in tactical gear shouted as he suddenly burst through the door. A team of FBI agents armed with assault rifles then spilled into the room. One of them tackled Sam, while another one ran up and cuffed him. Matt began coughing as he rolled around on the ground, dazed and trying to catch his breath.
Officer down! Officer down!
An agent shouted as he rushed towards Mad Dog. He bent down next to him and examined his wound.
Just hang in there, brother. Help's on the way. Are you all right?
One of the agents asked Matt as he crouched down next to him. Matt nodded as he continued coughing.
Come on,
the agent said as he grabbed him by his arm and helped him to his feet. Sam could be seen being placed in the back of a police cruiser as law enforcement now swarmed the building. Matt climbed into the back of an ambulance. Later that day, after Matt was discharged from the hospital, his parents spent the evening with him, thankful that he survived his nightmarish ordeal. They sat together visiting when the 6 o'clock news came on. A news anchor opened.
Good evening. It was a chaotic scene today at a local hair loss clinic after FBI agents descended on the property shortly after 11:30 a.m. Special Agent Chris Coleman, a 16-year veteran of the agency, sustained a gunshot wound to the chest while working on an undercover case. He had reportedly been posing as a homeless man as a part of the 3-month-long investigation into the owner of the clinic, Samuel Sneed. Sneed, who often went by the alias Samuel Jenkins, was the target of an FBI probe after an investigation was launched earlier this year. He had allegedly been operating an illegal hair loss clinic out of a vacant building, as well as several other fraudulent businesses in at least 2 other states. To make matters worse, many are outraged after learning that Sneed had been arrested 27 times and had an extensive history of mental health issues. He now sits in the Pueblo County Detention Center, where he faces attempted murder charges, as well as assault with a deadly weapon, drug trafficking, and criminal impersonation.
Oh my God!
Matt's mom exclaimed as she got up from her seat and wiped the tears from her face. She walked over to Matt, who was huddled next to Kendra, then bent over and hugged him.
I'm so glad that psychopath didn't hurt you. I couldn't live without you,
she sobbed. His father sat in the corner, rubbing his face as his eyes filled with tears. That evening, Sam stood peering through the bars of his jail cell when he received a new cellmate. Gabriel Carrillo had just been involved in the use of force when 2 deputies tossed him into Sam's cell. After they closed the door, he began shouting and banging on the bars.
My neck's all fucked up, and I need to see medical!
You can sit in here till you calm down, one of the deputies replied. After he walked off, Gabriel scowled.
Prick!
Sam turned to him.
What happened to you? That fucking cop slammed me on the ground, and I think I got like whiplash or something,
he said as he rubbed his neck. Sam shook his head.
Don't surprise me. They used excessive force on me too. That's how I got this cut on my face. In fact, the first call I make is going to be to my lawyer. Hell yeah, I should sue the fuck out of this place.
Sam paused thoughtfully.
I'm Sam, by the way. I'm Gabe, but they call me G-Dub.
The 2 men shook hands.
You know, I'm actually a certified chiropractor. For real? Yeah, I own several practices on the outside. You from around here? Nah, I'm from Aurora.
Sam nodded.
If you want, I could give you an adjustment.
Gabriel gazed at him warily.
So, what's in it for you? You get canteen? Yeah. An adjustment would typically run one of my clients $80, so I figure a week's worth of your canteen should cover the expense. A week's worth of canteen? You must be tripping.
Suit yourself, Sam said as he turned away. Gabriel thought about it for a minute.
Like, for real? You could help me?
Sam turned back to him.
Absolutely. The neck's an easy structure to manipulate. It could be whiplash or something as simple as a misalignment.
He grinned.
They don't call me the steady hand for nothing.
Gabriel shrugged.
Okay. You better know what you're doing.
Well, this isn't as cozy as my office, but it'll work. Lie face down on the mattress, Sam said as he motioned towards the bunk.
Gabriel walked over to the bed and laid down on his stomach as he was instructed. Sam smiled with a glint in his eye, then cracked his knuckles.
And that was Psycho Sam by Brian Asbury. Listen, not everyone is blessed with the luxurious cascading locks of old Drew Blood, but hey, I've got my crosses to bear too. Just shave your head and grow a goatee like everyone else.
Jeff!
A little about the author. Old Brian Asbury is originally from Pueblo, Colorado. He's a big fan of television shows like Tales from the Crypt and The Twilight Zone, and gritty 90s psychological thrillers like Cape Fear and Unlawful Entry. He's a regular contributor, and if you enjoyed this story, you can check out many of his other ones available on the channel. His collection Waking the Dead is available from The Evil Cookie Publishing, and in audio as a collaboration with Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, featuring myself and other voices from the network. Fans can connect with him on Facebook under Brian Asbury-Writer. He'd like to thank his lovely wife Amber, who has been one of his biggest inspirations, and also all his family and friends. You know who you are. Hey, thanks, Brian. Always a pleasure. Oh, and be sure to check out his snazzy fucking website at brianasbury.com.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till next week. Our Christmas episode, headlined by another fan favorite, the one and only P.D. Williams. So we'll all be looking forward to that one. So may the wind be at your back, my friends, and may the road rise up to meet you. Hit that like button on your way out, all right? And until next time, go fuck yourself. I love you all. Good night, y'all.
I'm sign calls. Psycho Sam, snip, 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 snip. Promises made with a quick, slick quip. The price is your blood drip, drip, drip. Your gullible ass is about to be pimped. Clipper in his grip, the smile too slick. Whisper, trust me, I'll fix what genetics didn't pick. Snake oil sermons in a barber's disguise. Follicle savior, but the truth's all lies. Calls himself a doctor, but he's high on that shit. Inking hairlines with that stip, stip, stip. You look in the mirror, what you see there instead is a big black dick on the
the back of your head. Scalps gleaming under fluorescent light. Charging fortunes for a miracle slight. Cash stacks taller than his moral compass. Patience left bald, but his pockets luscious. Mirror don't reflect what's hiding in the shears. Behind the mask, he's been grinning for years.
Psycho Sam, snip, 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 snip. Promises made with a quick, slick quip. The price is your blood drip, 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 drip. Your gullible ass is about to be pinned.
Dot by dot, he marks you for the chopping block. Now he's right behind your door. Chop, chop, chop. Promised you your youth, but delivered you your fate. Another body buried, and now it's too late.
Psycho Sam, step, stippity step. The blood runs cold, drip, drippity drip. Psycho Sam, step, stippity step. Blood runs cold, drip, drippity drip.